Okay, here we go. I was trying to figure out, like, there's, like, another story to talk about in Parshas Toldos, because we always talk about this story, and you know why there's no other story to talk about? Because it's the only story in Parshas Toldos, basically, is this story. So, so we're going to talk about lying. I'm talking about lying. Because we've discussed it a little bit, but I want to show you a different angle here. A couple of different angles that I think are really important, because I think it really bothers everybody. It should bother us, right? Mm-hmm. This whole story is, like, really, it's bad. It feels uncomfortable, doesn't make us feel good. Also, like, what's Yaakov's mida? The mida of Yaakov is MS, Tiferes, but he's like, MS is one of the midos of Yaakov Avinu. And, like, it doesn't really feel so good, this whole story.
I feel like when you're learning it as a kid, like, it's so funny because
it's exciting.
It's never bothered me because it fits this narrative of the Jews are the best and the Jews are going to win. Like, I feel like this is it's like, well, you know, and Shmuel, and like, so it's like, well, because we're meant to be the top and, like, everyone else has to go by the
No, correct. It, no, it fits with, like, we're chosen, yeah, all that
it's
stuff.
Just like, you're But it's like, I feel like you're not bothered by it until you're
no. Also,
way older
also it makes a lot more sense. Like, Esav was such a bad guy, right? But when you're a kid,
it's true.
When you're a kid, Esav was such a bad guy that, of course, we do whatever you can to be the bad. You know, you don't sneak around a bad guy. Of course, you do. He's such a bad guy that whatever you got to do, you got to do it. Actually, some of the Rishonim Achronim say that he's such a bad guy that. Right. Yeah, there's got to do. Sure. But let's actually
it's
look inside a little bit.
Don't rush and talk about the bad guy.
But,
right. Shot, he's hard working,
right.
Yeah. Good sign.
Right.
Exactly. Right, it's the justification.
Right. Yeah. I mean also like marries, you know, bad, you know, people from bad places and whatever. Right. But yeah,
yes.
Sure, there's nothing that terrible there. But let's just look at this story for a couple minutes and we'll see how we feel. Okay, Vayizikiza Kenya Tzichak Vatich Yena. So he's getting older. He can't see so well. That's not stam, right? That's a very important detail here that he can't see. Otherwise, this whole thing isn't going to work, right? And I tried to cut out things a little bit. Rivka, here's what's going on here, and she's not happy with it. Rivka amra el Yaakov benali morhinei shamati esavicha midaber leisav echichilam. We're not going to talk about the marriage between Rivka and Yitzchak and the issues there. That's a different conversation. So he says haviyali matamim. Listen to me, she says. We know the story. Get, you know, I'll make it for you, etc. And Yaakov says to her, Rivka imo, says mom, says to my mom. What's going on? It's not going to work. I don't want to do this. He's going to catch me. This is a big risk. He'll curse me instead. We've actually spoken about that before, right? The Vilna Gaon says alai, right? Is Lavan? What is it? It's Esav, Lavan, and Yosef. Right, these are the three bad things that
she
says. These are the three things going to happen to you because of this. But you know, you have to accept it. Like that's what's going to be. Right? That's the villain going says. Fine, but she says it's up to me. It's on me. Meaning, I know what I'm doing. And what's the simple shot? Why she knows what she's doing? Why does she know what she's doing? Why does Rivka have information that makes this make sense?
Didn't she have nevuah?
Yeah, where'd she get nevuah from? The beginning of this, the earlier part of this parsha.
Oh, right.
She walks by the. She feels these babies, you know, fighting inside. And she says, she actually goes to like, we say she was shame the Eva. She spoke to the emotional in some way. And Hashem tells her, right? And Verav Yavod Sayir, right? The older one's going to serve the younger one, right? So she presumably, right? That's how we typically read the story, is that she had some type of nevuah that told her this is the right thing to do. Right, the younger one is supposed to overtake the older one, and she realizes now is the moment. Right, this is it. This is her chance to allow the younger one to overtake the older one. Okay, what does she not know about that already happened about in that area a little bit already?
That the bechor was sold.
The bechor was sold already. Right, she probably wasn't there for that part. Right, but the bechor was sold. Maybe she knows. Maybe she doesn't. But she says, "Don't worry. I'm going to take care of it. It's on me. Presumably she says, I know what I'm talking about. Fine, so what happens? So she gets the food. She has clothing in the house. And she dresses her younger son. Anything funny about that language?
Isn't that you?
But she does it. She does it.
I mean, it's a strange thing to do to your son.
He's an adult. She dresses him.
Then again, I don't know. It's like in the olden days.
Okay, so she puts the clothing on him. Maybe, right. I mean, so maybe we're reading into it a little too much.
Right. It was complicated with the fur patches.
I'm saying she was dressing him like in a costume. So
she dresses him up. Okay.
I never thought about that.
Good. You're going to see this some do. The al-yadav, and she dresses him up. She puts the hair on his hands and on his neck. It's amazing that this works. Like, how did this ever work? Okay, fine. Right?
Didn't we talk about that?
What?
We talked about that he wasn't really tricked. He just pretended.
He wasn't really tricked, yeah. She gives it to him. Right, and she asks him right away. Maybe he always asked that because he couldn't see who's there. Right, maybe he always asked that question. Vayomer Yaakov el Aviv. What does he say? Anochi Esav Bicharecha. I am Esav, your Bechor. Asisig Asher Dibarte Eli. I did everything that you told me to do. And come now, eat to give me a bracha. That's a little fast. No, Hashem help me, Baruch Hashem. And then now Yitzchak's really confused. Let me touch you. Is that really you? That's not how Yitzchak talks. That's what some impression say, right? He's talking with Hashem's name. That's not how Yosef talks, right?
Also just the voice.
Right. But some point out they're twins. Mm-hmm. So some of you should point out they're twins. Twins, not always, but a lot of times, have a similar voice.
Fraternal, they don't look alike. Clearly,
yeah. Right.
Okay.
Clearly they're not right. The same.
But okay. I will say that my two who are fraternal, I sometimes can't tell them apart.
By the way, some but siblings. It's family, sometimes right. Siblings
can't. My sister's probably sometimes it takes a while.
Sometimes siblings sound alike, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Figure out
yeah. Yeah, there are siblings who live here who I sometimes listen to. I'm like, holy cow, you sound the same. Right? His voice sounds like Yaakov. Hands like, is that his voice? Is it the way he talks? Whatever it is. He didn't recognize him. He doesn't recognize him. So he gives him the bracha. How many times is he going to ask him? And each time he says, yep. It's me, yep, me, right here.
Right.
It's me, right? Okay. Fine, and he gives him the bro. Good. This is a very uncomfortable conversation. You're even reading it. You're like, you know, it feels like so yucky. Okay. So the Rishonim are all bothered by this conversation because it seems really, really horrible. And by the way, this would be something that would be not nice to do. Forget like being one of the avos. Imagine doing this to your parents.
Your blind elder father.
Yeah, you imagine? Imagine tricking your parents like that? Mm-hmm. How horrible would you feel?
Or like anyone for some kind of game.
Or any person. But your father? Your mother? You know what I mean? Like, that'd be horrible. Right? And that's what he does. So all the Rishonim have to, Rishonim, the Chazal, right. The Medrash, everyone's got to deal with this. Because everybody feels yucky after they read this story. Okay, let's look at Rashi. This one is, you know, relatively, quote, famous. Mm-hmm. Right? Rashi says, Anochi Esav Becharecha. Anochi. This is a, right, here you go, ready? Get your thumb out. Anochi Hamevi Lecha. Veisav Becharecha. Anochi, it's me. Esav Becharecha. That's a normal way to talk, right? That makes sense. Right? No, it's not. No one talks to that.
I didn't lie.
I said the truth. Right? And then what about the next line? I did everything you asked me to do. Asisi, I did. Kamad varim kesher diba. I do things all the time that you asked me to do, Abba. Give me a break. What's Rashi doing here?
He's grammatically fixing it.
He's grammatically fixing it. Why?
He's covering up like the extreme lie. He's saying like,
yeah, but how does this make it any better?
Like, in other words, it's when Yitzchak says, "Is it really you?" and he says, "It's me," that's Ani. Not a real lie.
Right, yeah, it's me.
But to say, "I am Esav,"
I mean, effectively, it seems like he's trying to put it on Rivka and not Yaakov himself. Like, this is your mother.
Put it on Rivka.
Meaning, because he's just going along with what his mother said, and in that moment, he's trying to avoid the lie as much as possible. Like, he's.
So meaning, what Rashi's pushing back here is that I know that he's not saying the truth. Let's be honest, he's lying.
Right.
But at least he's trying to make it less.
Right.
So Yaakov was careful with his language, not because by doing this he's absolved of lying. I don't think Rashi thinks that either. Right? Like, Rashi's a smart person. Right, right.
But
that's
you
like,
could see that he was uncomfortable with Rivka asked him to do. Just trying to do what his mother wants, but also make himself feel less guilty about what he's actually doing.
I like that a lot. Maybe it's not even that it's reflective of like the objective reality that he didn't lie, but it's more reflective of his uncomfortable feelings.
Right.
That like when we're lying, right? I'm sure none of you have this experience. Let's say you're talking to a child who is in your family, and they didn't do something, and they're lying, right? So like, you're like, just stop, just out with it, right? And they're like, well, I only took one. You're like, you took 30, right? Like, well, I only, right? And why do we do that? It's like cognitive dissonance. It's like it makes us feel better to lie less, right?
And also, if we wanted to say that he didn't actually need help putting on the costume, but he let her do it to him, it's also assuming this passive...
He just, like wants to do the least that he can. It makes him feel better, maybe, almost. Right? But, really psychoanalyzing Yaakov. But, he's sort of like, he doesn't really want to do this. So, like, at the very least, he tries to say less, fewer things that are not the truth. Not because it makes it okay. I used to read this Rashi, like... What are you even trying here, right? But I like that. It's like, it's almost like for himself, like he feels less horrible because at least he's not saying as many lies as possible. Or he's saying, let's say it better, he's saying the fewest amount of untruths that he can possibly say. If I want to say that. That was equally ridiculous way to say it, but fine. So that's maybe that's Rashi. Okay, and maybe Rashi's following that whole thing. You know, let's skip to number 4 just for a second because you're going to see the Medrash. Vayelech vayikach vayaveli imo. He goes and he takes and he brings it to his mother. Muskar gimopamim vaya lashon sa'ar. Falama. Why is it a language of pain? Like he has to. It's funny. Why is that a language of pain? But it's like, it's almost like each, we talk about each step, right? He did this
it's
and like then he did that.
It's
and
like
then
devoid of emotion.
He's like schlepping himself along, right? 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 Why? Mipeshe Yaakov halach anus v'kafuf uboche. He was so upset about it, he so didn't want to do it, that he goes in this like forced way. Okay?
Was there no other way to do that? I feel like we talked about this. There was no other way to do this. Just have a discussion with him and say, Rivka, to say, this
discussion.
Is what I.
Also, he bought it.
Right.
So maybe he shouldn't feel as like.
Right, he bought that outright, so now he's going to get the bracha that goes
don't
with
you
the
think
certificate.
Rivka should have talked about it.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I don't understand
why. Maybe they just
why...
thought it would break his heart.
Okay.
I just feel like there's so much deception, and we talked about this, the dysfunction.
Dysfunction.
Of, right?
Seems like a lot of dysfunction.
The endless dysfunction.
You're going to like the last. You're gonna like the last one.
It has to be more symbolical, though. It has to be more. It has to be more than that. You know, like, oh, our avos, they weren't perfect, so we also try to be. There has to be so much
what do you mean?
Deeper than that. No, I don't know the answer. I'm just saying.
No, it's a fair point. You're right. It's not just stomp, like, oh, why did they have a conversation?
This is Rivka and Yitzchak. Story we tell our children.
Right.
So, yes, but we've never come up with an answer. We've discussed the dysfunction at every single Parsha class from Gracious through Avayachim.
That's what we do. It's just discussing family dysfunction.
Right.
That's what we
and
do
then,
for
but
like
never,
12 sessions.
But
these are, you know, five
well,
books
is so,
and
so but we've never come up with anything.
Stories.
I know, but we leave it every time that the avos are not perfect.
I think what Alana's saying
and
is that
there's dysfunction.
No, correct.
Right?
But what Alana's saying is that, like, it can't just be like we all have dysfunction in our families, right? So, like, it's not like. I'm sorry. Everyone else has dysfunction in their families. But, like, It can't just be stom dysfunction, right? There's probably more to the story here than just that. Well, let's keep looking. Let's keep looking. Take a look. It's a fair point. So let's look. Look at Rabbeinu Bechaya in source number 3. He writes, he also goes pretty far here. And he writes like this. Anochi Esav Becharecha. Rabbeinu Bechai is also one of the Rishonim. And he writes, V'chein ataze b'ni Esav, v'yomer ani. Is that you, Esav? Yes, it's me. Ein sofik shekol dvarv sheyakov ein behem ki'im emes. Wow. Going all the way in. Everything Yaakov says is true. So we like have Rashi who's like fetching it out. Rabbeinu Bechai says, no, it's all the truth. Why? V'chein hanavi me'edelav, titen emes le'yakov. That's what we call him. Yaakov is a man of emes. He says to Hashem, right? Everything you give me, I'm going to give you a tenth. Et cetera. The bottom line is, he's telling the story about how Yaakov is such an emistic person. I won't get into all the details of that point. But now, go lower down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down from the beginning of the paragraph. First word, the third word is gan. Gan bekan. Also here, kishamar anochi Esav becharecha. Ratzabo. Anochi makom Esav ubecharecha klomar lebechara, meaning Anochi Esav. I'm in place of Esav, and I'm becharecha. Why?
Because
I bought it. So it's not a lie. It's not Anochi and Esav becharecha. No, Anochi Esav. I am in place of Esav, right. The bechor. He's saying a straight sentence.
I bought the certificate. Why
okay, okay, okay. I'm just telling you what he says. You're not going to like what he says, but I'm just telling you what he says. This is a setup. Okay. Ubishvil, not just shut up. You should see what he says. Ubishvil abechor ratzah Yitzchak levarech es Esav, because the bechor, we wanted to bless Esav. Valkein hayu habrachos reuyos leYaakov bimkomo. They really deserve. They belong to Yaakov. Shekvar lakach mimenu habechor. He already took it. Vumikocho bala bechora kolar roila. He was totally correct. He was just collecting what was rightfully his. V'abam mikocho shachavero harehu kamohu. Well, maybe come on, and you come on account of somebody else because you bought something that belongs to them, you now stand in their place. Like halachic, you know? Shari HaMalach, check this out. Shari HaMalach, Shishaya Midabir, Ima Navi, Haya Omer, Ani Hashem. There's all these times throughout the Navi where Malachim come to people and talk to them. And they always say, they talk like first person, like they're God. But it's a Malach talking. So why does the Malach say Ani Hashem? The Malach's not Hashem. Right, you have a number of times when that happens. Someone the Navi would talk to Am Yisrael. Umefurash matzinu she'amar ha'malach Yaakov anochi akel beis kel. When he comes to Yaakov next week at the dream, and he says anochi, it's a malach talking to him. It's not Hashem. Ki yedaber b'lashon sholcho. You speak in the name of the person who sends you. Umizeh amar Yaakov anochi Esav becharecha. I am Esav, your bechor. If he just said, I'm Esav, that would be a lie. That's why he says the word Bicharecha. I mean, otherwise, it's like a little funny to say the words. Anochi Esav Bicharecha. I say Bicharecha. Because he said, I'm coming in place of him. And then he goes further. Is that you? Lo amar ani Esav. Elaani, yes, Klamar, Nihu Shataru Livarech. I'm the one you want to bless. Fine. And what about the next line? Umasha Amar Sizika Shir Di Barta Eli. I did what you asked of me. Vuhulo Dabarakim to Esav. He's speaking to Esav. Milas Eli, Kamo, Bishvili, Ulotovasi. Right? You did it for me and on my behalf. Right? Kiluleshi Yitzavila Esav, Lo Shamarivka. Meaning, I did all the things that you commanded of me. Why? Because they worked out for me to do these things for you. That's why I'm doing them. Okay? So what do you think?
Love it.
You love it?
I don't.
I love it.
I love it.
Also, it's so fat. First of all, it's true, like the Malachim, they say, I need Hashem. It's so, and
it's all the mouthpiece right. For Hashem. They're coming right. As a messenger right. Directly
it's
from
not like Esav
Kisei HaKavod, yes. Sent down to speak on their behalf. This is not the same thing.
It is the same thing because it also is. It's also talking about the deepness of this whole bechor. I'm like, we're selling a bechor. What does it mean? We're selling a bechor for a pot of soup. I'm saying the whole concept. Yaakov can only become Yaakov when he takes the component of Esav.
Becomes part of Esav.
He becomes part
it's
of
very
Esav.
Spiritual.
It's very Adam to Yitzchak to Yaakov. Yaakov has to be like the culmination of it all because now Israel's coming from him. Right? Avram had a piece of him that wasn't good. Yishmael, Yitzchak had a piece of him. Wait, I'm missing a people.
But you like this idea. You like this idea because, yeah, like, it speaks to like this like mystical, esoteric, like, right? No, I'm serious. Like, I'm being serious, right? Is that fair to say? You like the depth of it. Like, it's not just having regular conversation.
This is an old, this is a puppet show. Like, this is
seriously, man. We have these little stories. So Alana's saying you like this idea because what do you mean, Chai? Think what's he getting at here? Does he think we're silly? Does he think we're dumb? Right. Alana, what you're saying is that this is not a regular conversation. Right. This is like deep stuff. Anochi Yesa Bicharecha is like, this is like the
this
real.
Is his son coming okay. to his father and saying, I got this. The Jewish people are going to come for me. I know you had a part of you that thought maybe Esav should be the Bechor. Maybe, yeah, you're confused.
Okay, I'll buy all this. Then what's the big costume party for then? I'm saying they just come to him and have the conversation. What's the whole?
So
the
what
whole
you can't good
concept of it is ridiculous vis-a-vis Rabbeinu Bechaya.
Well, you can't remove. No, I mean, right. You can't remove Jenny. According to what you're saying is, let me rephrase. Tell me if you agree.
You didn't like my costume.
No, I like it. What you're saying is, you can't deny though the deceit.
Right.
The deceit is still there, right? But what? What maybe what we're getting at here is that Rabbeinu Bechaya's point is, of course there's deceit. But the deceit was like this, like there was this spiritual need for this deceit to take place for whatever reason. And when he comes to speak, he's not some charlatan who's just tricking his father. He's coming from this like deep mystical place of needing to do this. And therefore what he's saying is, you know, Titein Emes LeYaakov is not speaking of like that Yaakov always said the truth. But speaking of it, he's a person of MS, and this was all truthful, what he was doing.
And
yeah,
I have a great idea. Wait,
okay, then I have something else.
Okay.
We're not going to end here. Don't worry.
Remember the story? Is it Berea? What is the story of the righteous woman who her son dies on Shabbos, yeah, but she doesn't want her husband to be sad? Mm-hmm. Who do we got here?
That is. I think it's Berea. Yes, and she has. She puts the bodies up in the attic.
So she tells a mushal. She's
normal.
Not tricking her husband. She tells
this
a mushal.
The Navi story? Oh, not the Navi. It's the Gemara.
In other words, to get her husband to come to the MS, for Yaakov to show Yitzhak the MS, he has to veil it with like a funny story. Oh, I am Esav. But meaning, so Berea comes and she goes, someone gave me a present. That's the story.
Oh, she tells
someone
she
gave
says,
me a present.
Oh,
yeah.
And they took it away.
So she, what is the story? She could have just said to her husband, God is taking our son away. Right. He's dead now. So instead she tells this silly story. She's lying, in a sense. So I'm saying Yaakov, what it's really about is that Yaakov, he knows Yitzchak is going to have a hard time with this reality because Yitzchak has such a love for Esav. So Yaakov has to put on this play for Yitzchak to finally be like,
which he does at the end, by the way. To be fair, at the end, he's upset, but then he says, Gam Baruch, yeah. Like, in the end of the day, like, it does work in the sense that Yaakov, Yitzchak accepts at the end what's happened to him.
And he has no choice.
No, but he does have a choice. He could have said, I don't agree. He could have been upset. He does say, Gam Baruch, yeah. At the end, he accepts it. But he shakes, right? The Torah says he has like this, he like shakes. Like, he's so like, oh my gosh, what happened to me? And he realizes, if you want to take this approach, right, the argument is, presumably, that there's something so necessary, right, in this. And not dysfunction necessarily, but this was like, he couldn't be reasoned with. It wasn't going to work. She knew that. Right. So she sends him to trick him. Right. Tricking is not what he wants to do. Yaakov doesn't want to do it. It's clear Yaakov doesn't want to do it. He's nervous to do it. Even Yitzchak feels upset about it afterwards. But in the end of the day,
it works.
And it's true because it was what was supposed to happen. In fact, Rivka gets a nevuah that this was supposed to happen. We find it funny, like, why couldn't they have a conversation? So I know that I know the answer to that question.
So I think,
but
I agree with
you. But I'm saying, but that's it's an approach.
But you know,
it's an approach. You may not like it.
It's
an approach.
MS, right? So when you think of somebody who's MS, you think of them as like yashar yashar. Everything is black and white, right? And everything has to be a certain way. So those are people you cannot ever reason with, right? Because everything is like this. So I'm saying if you go with Rashi in that approach, then the story is just the way it is because Riff got a nevuah and knew that this is what had to happen.
Right.
There's a million things that always happen like that. Somebody has a nevuah and knows that this is what needs to happen in order for this to happen, right?
But why can't you have a conversation with Yitzchak about it?
Because I'm saying because if you take, he's a man of emes, I say it how many times, like this is...
Yaakov is the man of emes.
Yaakov, I'm saying he's... Oh, right, I'm getting confused.
You're saying Yitzchak You're saying there's something about Yitzchak that he won't waver on this. Won't, he won't give
she
it.
Must have known that there was right. no. There
I mean, Yitzchak is gevura. Yitzchak is gevura. Usually we say gevura is inner strength, but maybe gevura in this case is like almost like a stubbornness, and maybe that part of that midah of Yitzchak of being
like
so stubborn.
She was. I'm looking at it.
She knew he wouldn't be able to handle it. She knew it wouldn't work.
So she knew the conversation wasn't going to happen. To make this go forward, this right. is what needed to happen. Right. Even if it was deceitful, even if it was wrong, it still needed to take place, right?
Right. By the way, even if you go to like the psychology, whatever route, like there are people with whom conversations don't work. Because like, wouldn't it be so nice if we could just like talk about it? And she was like, that's great. But like, with some people, it's actually not going to work. Right. They can't hear it. Yeah. Right. There's some people who, and then your approach to those people is something else right. because they can't hear it. Right, for whatever reason, maybe she knew that Yitzchak couldn't hear
I'm just
it.
I'm saying, I don't know why we can't just accept the deceit.
You can.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I see the portion we're going on trying to, like, make it that, no, they're the avos, so they wouldn't.
Because it seems really yucky. It seems really uncomfortable.
Well, look at the brothers throwing their brother in a
okay, that's,
die.
But we have to deal with that also.
I'm saying there's so many instances
but that was wrong
that
they
did, but horrible things,
right?
But
right.
Everybody is not perfect, and some of those things need to happen.
Everybody's not perfect,
but if we didn't do that, we wouldn't have gone on Mitzrayim.
But doesn't it feel funny? That like the progenitor of our entire people, like got that bracha through deceit, it doesn't feel good. We're supposed to be
like
emissive people.
So now we're trying to justify to make ourselves feel good.
But HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated it this way. So like, if we have certain values and certain midos that we believe in, to see it all get launched from this place makes Chazal uncomfortable. Right? By the way, even if the answer just is you're right, it makes us uncomfortable. So at least. He didn't really want to. He felt he had to. But even the lesson is, sometimes you got to be dishonest. Sometimes we lie. Sometimes we have to lie for shalom bayis. Sometimes we have to lie for all kinds of things. And it's the truth. Sometimes you have to lie, right? Sometimes you do, right? So, you know, to save face for somebody, you have to lie. Sometimes for tzniyus, you have to lie, right? You know, there are all kinds of times when we tell people to lie, halachically. So like. You're right. Sometimes you have to lie, but maybe that message then is just okay. But even then, it shouldn't be easy. It should be hard. It shouldn't be something that we want to do.
But how come they don't go on and on when the brothers lied to
they do.
To Yosef's not Yosef's face to Yaakov's face and told him
they do. We'll talk about that when we get there. But there's a lot about that, and to the extent that we're told that the Asar Ruge Malchus, right, that those 10 Talmid Chacham were killed, you know, thousands of years later. Are killed? Why? Because they're paying up the you know for what the brothers did, which was wrong, right? So we're not saying they did the right thing, but it's you know we're trying to deal with it,
all positive,
trying to deal with it, right? So Rabbi Mechai wants to say maybe in a deep mystical way, it's not a lie, it's not falsehood, it's true, even though it had to come through some type of deceit, for whatever reason. I want to show you two other things, okay?
Sorry, we had
This is exactly what I want you to do. This is like what I want. I don't want to sit and talk. I want you guys to talk. I'm serious. Take a look at the Ketzav HaKabbalah. Ketzav HaKabbalah is living much later. Yaakov from Mecklenburg. He's living already like 1800s. And he says something so interesting. What's the thing that Yaakov says to Rivka? Ulai, source number 5. Ulai yumusheni bani, avi. Maybe my father's going to touch me. Is before he knows about the dress-up game. Mm-hmm. And he's going to realize who I am. He says, that's the wrong word. Take a look. Hayal lomar pen yimusheni. The word in Hebrew, when you're worried about something negative that might happen, is pen, which we always translate in English as lest. Right? Yeah. Lest. These are one of those English words you only use to translate Hebrew words. Mm-hmm. Right? Phylacteries. Oh, that makes much more sense now. Thank you for explaining. Tefillin is phylacteries. Now I understand perfectly.
Well, was just talking about that somewhere.
I don't know. 1840. Okay, there you go. Kilashon pen yishamesh kishein hamedaber chafetz b'mitziyot hadavar. When I don't want the thing to happen, I say pen yikra enuason. There's all these things. That's actually what Yaakov says about Binyamin. When he's nervous about sending him down, he says, "Pen yikra." Maybe right, it's his same person. When he doesn't want it to happen. Maybe something's going to happen to him, right? You use the word "pen" in Hebrew for that in biblical Hebrew. Kamo pen yishalach yado, pen nafutz al pnei haaretz. Right, that's by what the Migdal Bavel people say. Mm-hmm. We don't meet Hashem might spread us all around. We don't want that, right? Pen Hikrayinu Ason. There you go. Same thing Yaakov says about Binyamin. Vimhaya Chafetz Shalilas Hamishush Havale Lomar Pen Yimusheni. Maybe lest he might touch me. So what's going on here then? Such a great Vizen Nira Ki Yaakov Isha Tamim Lo Haita Da Tau Nochel Va Tau Ratzon Aviv. He didn't want to do it. He only wants his father to do what he wants. He was hoping, right? It's like a Freudian slip, right? There was no Freud yet, but you know what I'm saying. It's almost like maybe it won't work. Maybe he's going to touch me. He's going to realize it's me, right? Almost like, I love it. So cool, right? Lachena Mar Lashon Ulai. He's hoping it'll happen. That's so cool. Right? It speaks the same idea. This like, I don't want to do this. Okay. Good. All of this is great and good. And then came, I have not seen Rabbi Sacks talk about this topic before, and I just searched it. I'm like, well, Rabbi Sacks must say something about this. And he says something, of course, something awesome. So check it out. I won't read the entire thing. I gave it to you so you can read more, the whole thing inside. But basically, he says like this. He goes, think about what happened after all this, right? Obviously, right? What happens to Yaakov as a result of the deceit? So many bad things. He has to run away. Because he can say good things. He gets married because of it. But he has to run away. Once he runs away, what happens? And this is like what happens like from a, you know, like a Mida Kenege Mida perspective, right? He gets duped over and over and over and over. Lavan tricks him. Leah and Rachel trick him, right? His own children trick him, right? There's so many things that happen. His own kids trick him, by the way, with the story of Dina, maybe we'll talk about at some point. It seems that even the brothers may have tricked Yaakov in that story. Mm-hmm. And Shimon and Levi trick him. And there's so much deceit that happens afterwards that leads to, you know, that basically follows him for the rest of his life. Right? To the point that when look what he says like this. Third paragraph.
Asked by the first incident of deceit, basically, in Tanakh. As like, I'm saying, like, when we see Tanakh for the first time.
Is it the first incident of deceit? I think so.
It is, right?
I think so.
And then there's a million
of them. And they all happen to Yaakov.
Right. So sad.
All of them happen to him afterwards, right? Check this out. Actually,
they try to do deceit where they say, with Avram says to...
Right,
Avram's
all of those.
With his wife. That's true.
Those wives, sisters.
When he says she's my sister. Oh, that's true.
Actually, Avram also lied to Yitzhak of the Akedah.
Little deceit there also.
Perhaps.
Didn't they lie to Sarah also where they were taking him?
Well, that's a Midrash.
Yeah. Okay. No, but he lies to Paro and says, this is my wife.
Right.
This is my sister. That's true. That's probably the first case of deceit.
Okay.
Right. But you're right, though. It's not like viewed in the Torah as deceitful.
I'll say the wrong thing, but it's probably true.
Right.
I'll say not, no, they're not PC thing, but it's probably the truth. It's not a case of two Jewish people lying to each other.
Right.
He lies to Paro. So it's probably like... I'm not saying that's a good idea, but it is true. It's the first time you have two Jews, right, lying to each other, in this case, right? Father and son, right? Asked by Pharaoh how old he was, Jacob replies, few and evil have been the years of my life. He is the only figure in the Torah to make a remark like this. It's hard not to read the text as a precise statement of the principle of measure for measure. As you have done to others, so will others do to you. The deception brought all concerned great grief. And this persisted into the next generation. So there he writes like this. My reading of the text is therefore this. The phrase in Rebecca's oracle, Verav Yavod Sair, is in fact ambiguous. We think it means the older will serve the younger. It may mean the elder will serve the younger, but it may also mean the younger will serve the elder. It was what the Torah calls achida, that is an opaque, deliberately ambiguous communication. It's not so obvious what it means. Verav Yavod Sair does not necessarily mean you should steal the Bechor from him. That's not obvious, right? Maybe it's implied, but not necessarily. It suggested an ongoing conflict between the two sons and their descendants, but not who would win. It's not clear, right? Yitzchak fully understood the nature of his two sons. He loved Esav, but this did not blind him to the fact that Yaakov would be the heir of the covenant. Therefore, Yitzchak prepared two sets of blessings. As we mention this almost every time this comes up, right? There are two brachos. the one that Yaakov gives to, that Yitzchak meant to give to Esav, which one? The physical one. V'yiti, v'yiti enlecha. V'yiti enlecha is a physical bracha. What is the one that he gives to Yaakov later before he leaves? The Birchas Avraham. Right? The nation, right? The covenant that he wasn't planning to give to Esav anyways. He was always planning to give that to Yaakov. He knew that. He wasn't being tricked. He knew what was happening here. Right? And we've talked about this before. Others who say that he knew very well who Esav was. But he hoped they could work together. Right? So the bottom line is, next paragraph, the covenantal blessings that God had given Abraham and Isaac were completely different. They were about children and the land. It is this blessing that Isaac later gave Jacob before he left home. Right? And look what he says in the end of that paragraph. This was the blessing Isaac had intended for Yaakov all along. There was no need for deceit and disguise. Yaakov eventually came to understand all of this. Perhaps during his wrestling match with the angel, during the night before his meeting with Esav after their long estrangement. Right, what happened at that meeting is incomprehensible unless we understand that Yaakov was giving back to Esav the blessings he had wrongly taken from him. Check this out. The massive gift of sheep, cattle, and other livestock represented heaven's due and earth's riches. Right, the exact same things that Yitzchak gave Yaakov. That is, wealth. The fact that Yaakov bowed down 7 times to Esav was his way of fulfilling the words, "May the sons of your mother bow down to you." That's the exact same thing again. That what Yitzchak was meant to give to Esav and gave to Yaakov instead. They're going to bow down to you. So he bows down to Esav instead. Yaakov gave the blessing back. Indeed, he said so explicitly. This is amazing. He said to Esav, look, it's a pasuk. I brought you the pasuk here also. Just before this. Look what he says to him. Go back to source number 6 for 1 second. This is when Yaakov and Esav meet. That last time. Vayomer Esav, yesh li rav, achi, yi lecha shelach. Esav says, I have plenty, leave it alone already. Vayomer Yaakov, alna, imna matzasi chay menecha, v'lakachta min chasim yadi, take it from me, ki akein ra'isi panecha, kiros panei elokim bat yirtzini. I want to give it back to you. And then he says to him, kach na es, birchasi, asher huva lach. It's in the pasuk. Take the bracha back. It's amazing. I never saw that ever.
No.
Yeah.
Take it. And he takes it back. I have to see if any of the Rishonim say this.
Does any of them refer to say that that's the bracha in that pasuk? Like, can you look at the...
That is for sure the bracha. The bracha is... The whole bracha is physical. It's a physical bracha. That's for sure. And the second bracha is for sure the spiritual bracha of Birchas Avraham. And that's what he gives to Yaakov before he runs away, right? Okay. And many assume he was always going to give that to him. That was that he doesn't, because if he intended to give it to Esav, he would have given it to Yaakov then, and he didn't, right? So he was intending to give to Esav the physical bracha and give Yaakov the spiritual bracha. Instead, Yaakov swoops in and steals the physical bracha too.
Saying there was no reason for the whole
thing. Sachs is arguing that Yaakov himself sees all of the things that happened to him. After this happens, and he says to himself, I made a mistake. I was wrong. My mom was wrong. She was wrong. She shouldn't have done this. She assumed from that nevuah that she was right. And I'm telling you, look at all these things that happened to me, right? Rabbi Fran likes to say, listen to your messages, right? Like, look what's happening in your life. I got to fix this. And that's exactly what he does. And that's, the language is stunning, right? He gives it back. He gives it back.
Wait, does he take it back?
Yes. Yeah. And Esav takes it. He forces him. Mm-hmm. He pleads with him, and he takes it. So says Rabbi Sachs, on this reading of the story, Rebekah and Jacob made a mistake. A forgivable one, an understandable one, but a mistake nonetheless. The blessing Yitzchak was about to give Esav was not the blessing of Avraham. He intended to give Esav a blessing appropriate to him. In so doing, he was acting on the basis of precedent. God had blessed Ishmael with the words, I will make him into a great nation. This was the fulfillment of a promise God had given Abraham many years before when he told him that it would be Isaac, not Yishmael, who would continue the covenant. Nevertheless, Yishmael still gets a bracha. Isaac surely knew this because according to Midrashic tradition, he and Yishmael were reconciled later in life. That's what the Medrash says, that later on at the end of last week's parsha, they bury Avram together. Right? They say Yishmael made the tshuva. We see them standing together at Avram's grave. It may be that this was a fact that Rebekah didn't know. She associated blessing with covenant. she may have been unaware that Avram wanted Yishmael blessed, even though he would not inherit the covenant, and that God had acceded to that request. If so, then it is possible all four people acted readily as they understood the situation, yet still tragedy occurred. Yitzchak was right to wish Esav be blessed as Abraham sought for Yishmael. Esav acted honorably toward his father. Rebekah sought to safeguard the future of the covenant. Yaakov felt qualms, but did what his mother said, knowing she would have not have proposed the seed without a strong moral reason for doing so. Do we have here one story with two possible interpretations? Perhaps. But that is not the best way of describing it. What we have here, and there are other examples in Genesis, is a story we understand one way for the first time you hear it, and a different way once we've discovered and reflected on all that happened later. It is only after we have read about the fate of Yaakov and Laban's house, the tension between Leah and Rachel, that we didn't talk about that, how the tension between Leah and Rachel continues forever, right? With the kids continuing to fight, even the Shvatim later, even as when we're a nation, right? That continues to go on. And then animosity between Yosef and his brothers, that we can go back and read the chapter of the blessing in a new light and with greater depth. There is such a thing as an honest mistake, and it is a mark of Yaakov's greatness that he recognized it and made amends to Esav. In the great encounter 22 years later, the estranged brothers meet, embrace, part as friends, and go their separate ways. But first, Yaakov had to wrestle with an angel. That is how the moral life is. We learn by making mistakes. We live life forward, but we understand it only looking back. Only then do we see the wrong turns we inadvertently made. This discovery is sometimes our greatest moment of moral truth. For each of us, there is a blessing that is ours. That was true, not just for Isaac, but also Yishmael, not just Yaakov, but also Esav. The moral cannot be more powerful. Never seek your brother's blessing. Be content with your own. That's classic Rabbi Sacks, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, again, do you have to accept this? You don't have to accept it.
No,
you know, no, I'm saying it's challenging because it presumes that Yaakov and Rivka were wrong, right? It's pretty nice in terms of understanding the language there that he gives him back the bracha, whatever that means. And it also really helps understand why Yaakov has so many negative things happen to him as a result of this. Rather than sometimes you do the right thing, but the right thing leads to negative consequences and that's okay. That's one moral of the story. The other moral of the story is that no, sometimes you do the wrong thing and you had good intentions and it was wrong. It's another way to go with it. I thought it. I've never heard this approach before.
You left at the beginning here. I was just reading it.
Yeah.
You said, I was just trying to understand it. You said when Laban said, it is not done in our place to place the younger before the elder.
What's he?
So that's what he's talking about, that he got his brother. Wink, wink. Brother.
Yeah. He's zetzing him. He's giving him a... He's
when you read the Mephorshim, like, if you read that Pasuk, like, what are the Mephorshim
Everybody picks up. That's what he's... Like, lo yasakim bim komenu. We don't do that here. I think Rashi may even say it. Like you do over there by you guys. Like, sorry, buddy. That's not how it works here, right? It's like a total.
I don't remember learning that.
Yeah, time. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Exactly what he's you know, digging at him on that point. So again, you can take the Rabbeinu B'chaye and you can say like, wow, amazing, mystical, cool stuff about like lying, right? Or you can take the like he made an honest mistake.
Like in every, a lot of anti-Semitism occur oftentimes. It's when the Jews have the wealth.
Yeah, so it occurs just as much when they're sitting in the shtetls in garbage heaps and they just say they're rats.
When
we're sitting in the shtetls, they say we're rats and vermin and subhuman. When we're wealthy, they say we run the world. It is no less.
You're saying maybe it's good for us not to have wealth for that reason.
I was thinking sometimes we have to give back the wealth. Bracha to
Esav. It doesn't incite, happiness when we're doing well.
Like Yaakov, these generations.
No, but I think it's just cool. Yeah. I think it's cool. Like everyone, there was enough bracha to go around, and when you try to, you think you're gonna get in there and solve it. Yeah, you know, it's not always that simple. It's cool.
So it's really good.
That makes Rivka make a mistake, but that's okay also. But anyway, it's something to think about.
Thank you. I love it.